broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Good morning to you. It's a great day. We're going to have, Norman took the trades away, so it's going to be still, it's going to be hot, it's going to be muggy, mostly clear skies, though, of course, and we've got some very high surf coming in. It's rolling a little bit lower now. The highest surf came in on Friday, so that's along the east-facing shores. We, of course, are looking toward Olivia, now a Category 1 storm, could make landfall as a tropical storm. So we're just kind of looking at it possibly coming south. They're still looking at the direction it's going to go, passing the Big Island, possibly Maui. So all of these things are, of course, being watch very carefully. It's expected to cross into the central Pacific sometime today. I'll keep you up to date just as much as we can, of course, as Olivia makes her trek. Again, we've got Norman up north, and so our forecast today will be just about hot, humid. The winds are variable, 5 to 15 miles per hour. If you're out on the course, do take your sunscreen. You're going to want to put that and reapply it. If you're playing golf, there's a tee time at Mauchline on the Big Island at 10:16. Volcano has an 8:48. It's nice and chilly there. It's 59 degrees. Go up Mauka and you can enjoy the cooler conditions. Kapolei has an 11:30 here on Oahu. Raw Hawaiian Country Club has a 9:20. The Kahili course on Maui, 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Wailea Seabury Hall's annual fundraiser is happening on the Emerald course. So the Gold course is really busy at Wailea, but they do have some tee times after 12. And Maui Nui has a 9:48 and a 10:20. All right, we're going to go. Jason Sobel is the senior writer for the Action Network. You probably remember him from ESPN and Golf Channel, but he's with the Action Network. The Action Network, sports betting odds, news, insights, analytics, improving your betting experience through data, tools, news, live odds across the NFL, MLB, and GOLF, golf. Yes, and Jason Sobel's the man. First, we're going to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots, concrete-colored floors, and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Yeah, you're not going to find Claude Brousseau right now at Maui School of Golf because he's in France. He's in Paris. He's going to the Ryder Cup. And we have to find out if he made the connection that he was looking for to get to play at Le Golf National, where, of course, the Ryder Cup will be played in just a couple of weeks. We're going to talk with Jason about that. But first, let's introduce the man, Jason Sobel, golf senior writer for the Action Network. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hello, Danielle.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. It's good to talk to you. I was going through, you know, as I said in the opening, I kind of wondered why you left ESPN and then a golf channel, because you were like senior writer, very, very important person in the analytical. You really have deep insights. And if anyone wants to know more about Jason on Twitter, he's... I don't have your Twitter, Action Network headquarters, but your Twitter handle is?
At Jason Sobel, TAN for the Action Network.
There you go. Okay. So you can follow Jason on Twitter, and he's really insightful, and he has an interesting look at different things. You really know how to do that. And I guess when I saw that, the Supreme Court lifted the ban on gambling in most states, clearing the way for legalized sports gambling, which includes golf, I thought, wow, Jason really made a very smart move. Did you see it coming?
Yeah, you're not the only one that has said to me, I had no idea what you were doing. And then a month later, after I'd taken this job, said, oh, now I get what you're doing. So, yeah, we had an inkling. Obviously, I was taking a gamble myself, we thought the Supreme Court decision would be positive for the sports gambling industry, and it turned out that we were correct. So that's a good gamble. It's good to win the first gamble in that bet. So we got that out of the way. And I really saw a huge potential growth industry where most of sports journalism and really journalism in general is going through a transition period where there's a lot of turnover, a lot of turmoil. Things are changing so quickly. I thought that this was the best place to be to position myself for the next 5, 10, 15 years in this part of the industry, in this little corner of a niche of a niche that's going to grow so much bigger over the next few years. So I am absolutely happy with what I'm doing. I think our company is growing leaps and bounds every single day, and I'm having a lot of fun with it, Danielle. It's more fun than I ever would have thought, and I keep telling people that, but it's true. I'm having a lot of fun. I feel like there's a lot of freedom for me to write about, whether it's from a gambling perspective or really, I always use this term, I'm just trying to make people smarter about the golf that they're watching on TV each week. And if I can do that just a little bit, then I've succeeded.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to want to go with you on this. I mean, the PGA Tour loves it, loves the decision because there's a lot of money to be made. And in that frame, you have a secure job giving people information about how best to make their decisions that's going to affect their money. And I got to ask you, with Tiger Woods playing as well as he has been, and I don't care that he hasn't won yet, Tiger Woods is at the top of the leaderboard, the top 20, you know, that anybody on the PGA Tour would like to be in the top 20 on a regular basis in all of these events. So with Tiger Woods doing so well on the PGA Tour, do you see more action at the Action Network golf column?
Yes, but I will say that our content, especially in golf, isn't predicated by Tiger Woods' success. And I have seen in some of those other jobs that you mentioned that I've had in the past where they were so Tiger-centric that when Tiger wasn't playing, back when he was injured, back when he didn't even know that he'd be able to return to this level, that the interest level dropped off. But what I'm doing now, yes, there's a lot of interest in Tiger. Sure, I'll probably cover Tiger more than any other player just because I do feel like the media has a responsibility in this sort of law of supply and demand. If the public is demanding it, we should supply it. That's our responsibility to cover the best story. But I also feel that if we're giving betting advice, if we're looking at different angles, that it's not necessarily predicated on just Tiger Woods being up there on a leaderboard, that people out there want to know if CT Pan is going to go play well this weekend. They want to know about Peter Uihlein. They want to know about these guys they don't know that much about necessarily, and what does it mean for them moving forward. So
absolutely,
that's all part of what we're trying to do, and I think that that was actually a big part of the interest level for me, was not having to be so Tiger-centric all the time.
Yeah. Now, okay, let's go to Rory. Rory McIlroy, 3-1 betting odds going into the tournament, high up there as a favorite, with less than stellar play this past year. So I was wondering how Rory got such favorable status.
Quite frankly, Danielle, the odds don't change too much week to week. We might go to a golf course where certain player has had some success, and so his odds may be lowered just a little bit. We might go to a place where a guy is in good form, and so all of a sudden you see him go from maybe 30-1 to 20-1. But quite frankly, on a week-in, week-out basis, golf is so difficult to handicap, obviously, that you're going to see the same names, the same faces at the top of those odds every single week, from Dustin Johnson to Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, and on and on, Justin Thomas, I'll throw in there. Those are going to be about the top five of the top ten right there every single week. And then, okay, maybe they lower or raise them just a little bit based on, like I said, the course and current form and things like that.
So we're talking with Jason Sobel, senior writer for The Action Network. Now, The Action Network is a sports betting, odds, news, insights, analytics, all kinds of stuff at The Action Network, if you're a wagering person, and so many of us in Hawaii are. What's interesting to see on the leaderboard at actionnetwork.com, you've got the scores in one column, and the other numbers, now see, I'm not a better, you can tell. The other column has other numbers in it, and I was trying to, what are those other numbers?
The other numbers are the odds, and they're the live adjusted odds for each player. And so you'll see a guy like Xander Schauffele is a great example. I believe he was somewhere in the 60-1 range, which would be plus 6,000 when sort of written in betting parlance. But it's plus 6,000 is the same as 60-1. He was about 60-1, I'm guessing, I think, right before the tournament. Well, now he leads the event, and so I'm guessing, and I haven't looked at the live odds in the last little while, but I'm guessing he's somewhere in the 3-1, 4-1 range, which would be about 400 plus 400 in those betting terms. So those are sort of our leaderboards. That's what we're looking at, both the score and the betting odds. I don't think it's going to happen soon, Danielle, but at some point, it might be 10 years down the road. It might be less. But at some point, you're going to watch a PGA Tour broadcast or maybe some sort of simulcast online that's more geared towards the betting industry. And the leaderboards are going to come up on the screen, and instead of a player's college logo next to his name, instead of a player's maybe manufacturer affiliation, what ball he plays, you're going to see minus 13, and then you're going to see plus 400,
uh-huh.
And you're going to know that the odds are based on what that guy is doing on the course at that point.
I absolutely see what you're saying. Absolutely. So the plus 400 threw me completely. I've never seen odds in the thousands, you know, or whatever it was. And it was interesting, too, to see that the odds, even though you're high on the leaderboard, you're not going to necessarily, your odds of actually finishing the tournament as a leader don't go up. There's so many different things that factor into whether or not your past record, I imagine, indicates that you've got the staying power, or if this was just a fluke round, right? So I was just looking at some of the things the PGA Tour could do, like having kiosks at various events where you can go place your bets.
I have spoken with vice presidents with the PGA Tour about that very thing, and I was surprised to hear that they're not against it, that they think that could be a very real possibility, not this year, not next year, but 4 or 5 years from now, when sports gambling becomes sort of not just legal everywhere, but I think socially acceptable, and we're getting there. It's getting there very quickly, and I think that's a very real possibility. I think you might not even need a kiosk, because every single person on the golf course has a phone in their pocket, and you can do all of this mobily. So I think that a lot of it is just going to be done on your phone. But, yes, that's a huge part of it. And, Danielle, I'll tell you, matchup betting is a big part of this. And what I think is going to happen right now, you can look at two like-minded players. You can say Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas. Basically, the odds are pretty even usually. And you would pick one of those players to beat the other player either in a given round or the entire tournament. And then you'd look at Jason Day and Jordan Spieth. And you might look at Xander Schauffele and Tony Finau. And it's always like-minded players. I think what the books are going to be able to do in the next couple of years is basically give you an a la carte, which is you can pick a player, you can pick another player, and we'll give you odds for your player against the other guy. So let's say that you think Bubba Watson is going to have a really bad week. You can bet 30 different players against Bubba Watson, have odds on each one of those, and if you win 20 of those 30 bets, well, you're plus 10 units at that point, and you're doing pretty well.
And that's the whole part about it. I mean, there are so many different ways for people to make money, not just for the fans to make money, but for the PGA Tour to get a piece of each one of those bets. So, you know, and selling shot link data. Collecting integrity fees. I mean, the handling charges. It's an incredible industry, in an industry that's already making a whole bunch of money centered on the big organizations.
And you're absolutely right about that. And the difference between golf and the PGA Tour and other sports is the fact that the PGA Tour's data is proprietary. They own all that shot link data. And so if the sports books are going to want to offer live betting odds. And we've talked about this Tiger Phil match coming up that they may be standing on the fourth hole and Tiger will say, I bet you can't hit this to within 10 feet. And then Phil hits a shot and tries to knock it to 10 feet. Those are the kind of things that I believe they're going to be betting on. Those are the kind of things that are going to become the norm for people to bet on. Now, where it becomes very profitable for the PGA Tour, we're talking eight zeros profitable, maybe more, is that they can get a piece of this because, like I said, it's proprietary data for all PGA Tour events. So unlike the NBA, which the live scoring is just live, it's just out there, it's just data for anyone to pull from, the ShotLink data, the play-by-play, if you will, on the PGA Tour is all owned by the PGA Tour, and so they're going to get a little cut of this every time you bet on Webb Simpson to make a 10-foot putt instead of miss it. They're going to get a little bit of a percentage of that, and it's going to be so popular that a little bit of a percentage on each one of those bets is going to turn into a whole big number by the time this is all said and done.
Okay, and exactly, you just went where I was going. I wanted to flip the script just a little bit about the kinds of wagers. You know, is it bad to bet in golf on somebody not succeeding? I mean, is
no, that... no. But, what I've learned, Danielle, yes. there is no secret formula. That golf is as hard to bet on as you would think it is. And if you've got an inkling on something, you've got a hunch about something. Look, I'm a numbers guy. I love looking at the stats. I love looking at strokes gained putting for one player over another. If you just look at it and say, look, I think this guy is motivated this week. I think there's no data points that can tell you whether a guy is motivated, whether he's inspired to play well on a given week. So I look at those things, sort of the intangibles, more than anything else. But if you've got a hunch about, hey, this guy's missed three straight cuts in a row, and so his numbers have dropped and I can get him at better odds, why not? This is a fickle game, and betting on a fickle game is a fickle endeavor, and so we try to find little bits of information that we can use, or at least little hunches that we might have to help us make those wagers.
Absolutely. I totally understand. And then what about the player who might decide to miss just to make money?
I don't think it's going to happen. And when I spoke with Andy Levinson, who's a senior VP for the PGA Tour, when I spoke with him a few months ago at the Players' Championship, he made a terrific point. He said, right now, that can happen. Right now, it's all sort of black market offshore gambling on the PGA Tour. And so if somebody wants to take a dive, if you will, and say, hey, I'm going to shoot 78 today, and I'm going to go over, and all my buddies at home who are going to put $50,000 on me offshore to shoot over 75, they're all going to win money, and they'll give me a little percentage of that. That can't be regulated right now. Once gambling is legal everywhere in the United States, then they can regulate that. Then they have actual data to tell them, hey, so-and-so went over 75 today and hit the over number by four strokes, and it was really unusual because there was 150 times more bets on him than there normally is.
Yeah.
And so that's going to set up a big red flag. So once it is regulated, they're going to understand where and how they can use those numbers to, I don't want to say catch players who are trying to do it, but at least regulate it and legalize it.
Well, this is, it's a fascinating, I know there's critics, you know, they're the people who don't like gambling, it's bad for society, bad for the game, but it seems like it's just going to happen. And so the best way to do it is what you're saying, you know, is making sure that it can be regulated, being able to see it the way as it's happening in real time, and be able to track those kinds of trends should they be happening. Let's talk about Tony Finau and Xander Schauffele. Okay, so what are the odds that Jim Furyk is going to pick Finau over Schauffele? Do we have odds on that yet?
I've seen some in Europe. I haven't seen any in the U.S. The reason for that is, I think, just because it's more of a decision as opposed to an actual action that's going to take place on the golf course. So whenever it's a decision as opposed to something else, we'll see all these crazy prop bets for the Super Bowl. And I remember one of them, and I had a friend who took this bet because he heard something. It was, will Justin Timberlake wear white shoes when singing during the Super Bowl halftime, which is a silly thing to bet on. But as gamblers know, if you think you know something and you got a little tip, well, all of a sudden you want to bet on it. And so they limit those bets so that you can't make $1 million off of it knowing that a guy's going to wear white shoes. And it's very similar with this, where Jim Furyk is making a decision, and if you're Jim Furyk's next-door neighbor and you happen to be out there in the driveway and you talk to him a little bit, he said, yeah, don't worry about it. It's Fino. I got it. They don't want that to translate to people sort of making bets with insider knowledge.
I got it.
So long story short, you can probably bet on it somewhere. You probably can't bet on it a lot, and quite frankly, the odds aren't so much that you're going to change it too much anyway. But yeah, Tony Finau is certainly the odds-on favorite right now. Even Xander Schauffele said after his round yesterday, I asked him about it, and he said, I think it's Tony right now, and I have to win, and even if I win, that might not be good enough. And I thought that was very insightful from Xander. I thought that he doesn't have any unrealistic expectations. He's going out and trying to win this golf tournament, and even if he doesn't get picked on Monday, I don't think he's going to feel badly about that. I think he knows that he could have played better throughout the year, and if he had, he might be the pick instead of Finau. But right now, it's Finau, and unless Finau absolutely drops off the leaderboard over the next 2 days, I think he's going to be the pick.
Eric, excellent. Thank you so much. And I just, final thought, Ryder Cup odds, U.S. favorite over Europe, even though it's being played in Europe?
Yes, U.S. is the favorite, and the odds are dropping right now because I think the U.S. team, first of all, looks more cohesive. Secondly, in better form. And thirdly, they have some matchups that just make sense for those team sessions, whether it's Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth or Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson. They have these sort of natural built-in tandems that Europe doesn't have, and Europe's going to struggle to produce some of these. And I think that gives the U.S. an advantage. If I was betting right now, I would take the favorites. And even though the U.S. hasn't won on European soil in 25 years, I really think that's going to happen.
Jason Sobel, he's senior writer of the Golf Column, the Action Network, actionnetwork.com. Thank you, Jason. So good to talk with you.
Thanks, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Aloha. Coming back after this, we're going to go check out Golf Logics. Somebody sent me an email saying, Danielle, how's your putting? Even if you're dropping 20 footers, I've got something that'll make you better. We're going to talk with Pete Charleston right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Are you dreaming about a golf vacation to Ireland? Do you want to play some of the best golf courses in the world? Well, now is your chance. Danielle and the team at the Golf Club Radio Show have teamed up with Fairways and Fundays, Ireland's best golf tour operator, to offer you a chance to visit Ireland in 2019. Play some of the world's best golf courses. Enjoy spectacular scenery and exhilarating evening entertainment. And, of course, sample the odd pint of Guinness. This is a perfect tour for golfers and non-golfers alike. Contact Danielle and her team at the Golf Club Radio Show for more information. We look forward to seeing you in the Emerald Isle in 2019.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And just go to radiogolfclub.com, radiogolfclub.com, and you'll see the banner. and you'll see the Golf Club exclusive listeners tour arranged by Fairways and Fundays, a voted best golf tour operator for the last 2 years. You'll be playing Waterville, Ballybunion, the K Club, Esker Hills. It's going to be so much fun. So go to radiogolfclub.com, the Golf Club exclusive listeners tour. Okay, you're going to want to take your, whether you use an Android or an iPhone, iOS system, it doesn't really matter. What you need to have is your Golf Logics, and you need to download that to your phone. Because, as I said at the beginning, hi, Danielle, how's your putting these days? Regardless of if you're rolling in 20-footers or you're missing tap-ins, I have something that'll instantly improve your ability on the green without tweaking your gear or your stroke. Well, I immediately went, huh? So, of course, I want to talk with Pete Charleston, president, GolfLogics.com, number one all sports app and sponsor, of course, of the First Tee. Welcome into the clubhouse, Pete.
Danielle, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I mean, this is so cool. I love my GolfLogics app. I don't use it as much as I ought to. Of course, I don't play golf as much as I'd like to.
Seems like none of us do.
No, it seems like we're always working, right? It's like, goodness gracious. But for the person who has, you know, and I couldn't help but think about those golf reading, the green reading books. You know, they pull them out of their pockets, and some of them are larger than their pockets, and they're flipping through them and flipping through them, and they're talking with their, and they're figuring it all out. This is what you'll have an advantage over the professionals when you're playing on the course. You just pull out your phone, and it's going to show you it just shows everything. I'm so impressed. Would you tell us a little bit about how this works?
Sure. So probably it's been a little over 2 years ago we started seeing these green books, you know, come up on the PGA Tour. And we're like, God, what are those things? And we finally got our hands on one and looked at it and said, God, why can't we do that for the amateur golfer? I mean, it's hard enough to play this darn game, you know, as an amateur, and most of us aren't fortunate enough to have caddies to help us with the reads, and to create a tool that allows any golfer, whatever your handicap, to at the very least know whether the putt is, you know, going right or left or uphill or downhill. Is a huge advantage. So we're out there with this great new product, and it will take a ton of strokes off your putting and chipping game, for that matter.
So this is the feature. It's called Putt Breaks. Mm-hmm. It's at Golf Logics. It's for your app. If you've already got Golf Logics, the app, does Putt Breaks automatically come into you, or do I have to go and re-download it?
No, so if you already have the Golf Logics app, either on your iPhone or Android, and you show up at a course that we have done with Putt Breaks, and we've got about 9,000 courses done, it'll automatically pop up a 30-day free trial. So, again, we're so confident in what we've built here that it's a no-strings-attached 30-day free trial. You're not signing up for anything and having to cancel. Literally, you know, you walk out there, the trial starts. And whether you play one round in that 30 days or you play 15 rounds, you get to use all of our features. You get to see the whole green reading and all of our other premium features. And at the end of that 30 days, if you want to upgrade to our paid membership, great. And if you don't, you still get the free version of our app, which gives you 3D images of every hole and allows you to keep track of your stats and gives you distance to the green.
This is great. It's called Putt Breaks. It's an augmented reality engine. It literally brings to life the contour maps. So when you're on the green and you're trying to go, you know, I see these guys looking at the green and they see, but you know, I don't really know everything I should be seeing. Am I looking at this right? I mean, and that's what this app does. It shows you the contours. It shows you where the ball is more than likely to go because it'll show you the down roll. It's just really cool when I saw the photo of it. And I hope I'm describing it well so that you're getting in. It's 3D maps. And it all adjusts. So as you move, the app adjusts with you. It knows exactly what you're doing, and it'll change as you're moving. That's really cool, Pete.
No, that's exactly it, Danielle. Literally, you walk up to the green,
And, you know, you have to make a slight change in your routine, but I'm going to tell everybody, try it. It's worth it, right? Once you get hooked on this and realize that you never have to guess, you know, at a putt again and the amount of confidence that you're going to putt with, it's worth bringing your phone up there. And literally, you hold up your phone and it uses this augmented reality engine and it knows which way you're looking, or at least which way you're pointing your phone. So yeah. If you're standing behind your ball, you're pointing it at the hole or the flag. You can see the bunkers around you. You can see the green, and literally you just put your finger on the screen and draw a line between you and the pin. And then all of a sudden it zooms in and now you've got arrows that point in the direction, of the way the green is going to break. And if they're, you know, and there's a tutorial, but if the arrows are pointing away from you or towards the cup, that means it's downhill. And if the arrows are basically pointing at you, the ball, that means it's uphill. And if the arrows are pointing right or left, that dictates which way the ball is going to go. And, you know, we did a tremendous amount of focus group testing, and I had, you know, one of the most surprising groups that I had was I had a couple plus golfers and a scratch golfer. I took him out there, end of the round, get done. And I said, well, what'd you think? And the plus golfer says, and he shot a 78 or a 68, by the way, he goes, I think it saved me 3 strokes today. And I was just blown away. I'm thinking, like, this is a plus golfer. I just saved him 3 strokes. I said, why? Did it give you better reads? He goes, well, one of them, I think I might have been wrong. He goes, but the other two, I thought I was right. I looked at it. It confirmed I was right, and I putted with confidence.
Ah.
And it was really cool to see that come out of a really, really good golfer. And then as you get into, you know, your 8, 10, 12, 15, 18 handicaps, many of them can't read greens, and I'm one of those people. But I'm a good putter, but I can't read greens. And you get up there, and now you know with certainty the ball's going to the right. And you may not know exactly how far. It's an art. As you start to learn how to use this tool, you learn how much what the arrows mean and how, you know, whether it's a cup or a ball or a foot. But the reality is you know with certainty the ball is going to the right. So our goal is to eliminate the three putt, right? You may not make these 20-footers or these 15-footers, but at the very least, you read the putt in the right side of the hole, and you don't have that dreaded 5-foot comeback because you missed it on the wrong side of the hole.
Because 5 foot is forever anyway.
it's the worst.
Yeah, of course it is. And they say, you know, when you're watching on tour, it's a 4-foot putt. Yeah, four feet. That's, yeah. You know, for me, a 4-foot putt, I can miss that. Not a problem.
Right. Oh, 100%. And you do that. If you do that a few times around, it starts to get in your head, mm-hmm. and then you start putting, you get risky with it, and, you know, this is a confidence builder for any skill-level golfer.
So it'll read your putt in a matter of seconds with one-touch putt reading. It navigates the course with the 3D maps, intelligently adjusts, maps auto-oriented based on the user's position, as you said, mm-hmm. as you point your phone at wherever you are, it's going to adjust as you are moving along. It zooms and pans. This is awesome to see the green map from every angle. And then you just draw the line with your finger from the ball to the cup, and you can see how your putt's going to break. And now, obviously, you can't use this in actual USGA competition.
Correct. You can't use, at this point, you can't use phones. You can't use lasers that have slope. You know, we fit into that category of that. But let's be frank, how many of us play in sanctioned USGA events? I mean, most every tournament we play in, you know, is local rule, right?
Yes.
Whether you're playing at your club or you're at the local course you play at or the men's league, they're going to have local rules. So you can use your phones for GPS and you can use your phones for this.
This is great. This is great. And so the thing that's interesting is they're going to try to take those green reading books away from the golfers in the not too distant future. And part of me thinks that's not a bad idea because it seems to take so much of their time. They've already studied it so closely. They've already been going over everything. And now they're going to have a conference with the caddy about whether or not they've got the right line or not. It's like, goodness gracious, at some point you guys need to just play. You're the best golfers in the world. Just play this. Yeah, you know, so I digress.
Yeah, yeah, and what we're we're really hoping comes out of this ruling is that there's two pages in these books that the pros are using. And on the top page of the book, it's a super complicated, and it has a lot of numbers, and they're slope percentages. So the higher the slope percentage, the bigger the degree of, you know, elevation or break in the putt. And then the lower page is, it just has arrows. And we don't do that slope percentage thing. We think it's way over the top, way too confusing for the golfer. We just provide a nice arrow view of what's going to happen on your putt. And, you know, I feel like for the amateurs, we need to do everything we can to get people to have more fun, score lower out there, make more putts, you know, and play faster. And if we can help someone get a read and they're going to have less three putts during the round, or they're going to, we've all played with those people that have to walk every side of the putt, the front, the back, behind, you know, and they're spending 3 minutes.
Those are the guys.
Putt.
Yes.
And then they miss the putt and three putt anyway. But
yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
But I mean, we're trying to eliminate that. So, you know, there's a learning curve in everything you do, right? It is new technology. It's a change in routine. You've got to bring your phone up there. But after a couple rounds and you realize how quick this thing really is when you learn how to use the tool, you'll never want to play without it. It's like having that caddy behind you whispering in the ear and saying, "Hey, Danielle, remember, all right, this putt, it's going to go downhill, looks like a little bit, and it's going to fall off to the right at the very end. Oh, great. Yeah. I'm going to aim left of the hole." And, like, you know, I mean, that's kind of what it does. And it gives that, you know, advantage to the person that, you know, that isn't very good at reading greens or is playing a new course. Hell, I'm a member at a private club, and I use it on my club every time I play. Even though I play this course hundreds and hundreds of times, how often do you get on your own course and realize, God, I don't know which direction this putt goes? And then that gets in your head, and then you start putting poorly.
That's a big part of it, the confidence build. It's so important.
It is.
When you start dropping putts, you feel so good about yourself. Everything you just get pumped up. Can we talk a little bit about Golf Logics? For folks who don't know what Golf Logics, the app, just in general does, because you have so many different features, just the GPS maps you were talking about, the fact that it'll keep all the information so that you can analyze and see where your weaknesses are. Tell us about what Golf Logics can do for the golfer.
Sure. We were the first company to do an app for golf. And, you know, we are a complete tee to green solution. So when you're standing on the tee box, it gives you a 3D visual of every hole and gives you everything out there. So you get to see the bunkers, the dog legs, and it's all touch points. So anywhere you touch on the screen, how far to that left bunker, how far to clear that left bunker, how far to the dog leg, what do I have to clear the water? So on the tee, it's wonderful. And then as you get into the fairway, it gives you front, middle, and back of the green. It zooms in on the green, so you can tap on the green where the pin is, and so it's going to give you a pin distance. And one of the new features that we've been able to add through the use of our putt breaks is an approach view. So now it actually gives you green contours in an approach view. So as you're standing on the fairway, let's say you're 160 out, and God, I can't really tell what this green does. It looks like the pin's back right. You're actually able to see the contours of the green. And so you can say, oh, wow, that thing really falls off the back. Or I better aim 10 or 12 feet. I aim for the left part of the green instead of the right part because that's trouble. So the approach view is amazing. And then as you get up near the green, let's say you miss the green and you have a chip shot. Well, most of us as amateurs get up there and, like, you just try to chip it straight at the pin. You kind of forget about there actually is a break and a line. And now you're actually able to see what happens. You know, it's just like putting. So with chipping, like, oh boy, that thing, I better aim well left of that pin because it snaps to the right. And you may not see that with your eye on a pitch or a chip. And now you're able to do that with Golf Logics utilizing, you know, kind of this green view putt breaks.
That's awesome.
And then again, as we discussed, you get on the green and now you get a help with your putt reading as well. So it's a complete tee to green solution.
So if I have one, let's say I have one device, whether it's Android or iOS, I got my iPhone or I got whichever Android phone is my choice. Can all of us use the one phone instead of all of us being up there with a phone? Can we, like, say, here, use mine?
You can. I will tell you though, that is a little bit, it's a little bit slow.
Because
you've got to back out. Like, you know, it really is built for one person, right? Because, you know, you walk up and you stand behind your ball and you draw the line to the pin, and now you've got your green break. If you handed that to someone else, it's definitely doable, but they've got to hit the back button, and they zoom out, and then they go stand behind their ball, and they got to kind of do it all over again.
So it wouldn't save time.
No, we're trying to speed play. Trying to speed play, and this thing is so affordable that it's not, you know, this crazy thing. I mean, at the end of the day, if you like to wager a little bit when you're out there, you know, I think that, you know, having this advantage is gonna pay you back in a matter of rounds, right?
That's
you know,
awesome.
You get a few good putts and you're like, boom, oh, this was worth it.
So this is Golf Logic's president and co-founder, Pete Charleston. And Golf Logic is offering a free 30-day trial of the putt breaks feature. So you just download the Golf Logic app through whether Google Play or the Apple Store and experience a new way to play. And that's Golf Logic. Okay? So
that's
awesome.
Right. 30-day free trial.
It's awesome. And there's also My Golf Digest that helps to improve your game, too. So there's so many parts about Golf Digest that's really cool for your game, Golf Logic, including Golf Digest, and the tips that they provide that's cool for your game. You should really get Golf Logic for your phone, and it'll improve your game. I love putt breaks. Absolutely love it, because I think that's one of the hardest things. A lot of us can be out there on the fairway and get a sense. We can get a sense of what we can do from the tee, from the fairway. But the green reading just baffles so many people. They don't know whether they're doing it right. And in that lack of confidence comes failure. So when you feel confident, this is the way it's going to break. This is going to make me sink that putt, or at least get it so close that the next one's going to be easy. That makes you feel good about your game. And I really appreciate your time. Pete Charleston, president and co-founder of Golf Logic.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back with John Steinbretter, okay? And he's got tales from the design trail that will just blow your mind. Aborigines, cigarette snakes, drunken people who've come back to work after a long lunch, because that's the custom. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We know you aren't looking for a new garage door right now. Even though you haven't changed it in many years, even though the new styles you've seen look clean and strong, even though your current garage door is creaking and groaning, even though your garage door is the first impression that visitors have of your home, you just aren't ready. Or are you? Rainer Hawaii will make it simple to beautify your home. Call Rainer now at 676-3667. That's Rainer at 676-3667.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone. Only the best. As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative
Your experts on call.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
I want you to go check out radiogolfclub.com. Then on the first page, and you don't, there's no pop-ups or advertising or anything that's going to make you sign in and do anything like that. Just go to radiogolfclub.com. On the side, there's a little banner. When you click on that banner, you'll find the Golf Club exclusive listeners tour, all the information about where you're going to go. Then you just scroll down, you see the pictures of the different golf courses, Esker Hills, three nights at the K Club. And of course, you'll play the K Club, the site of the 2006 Ryder Cup. It's just 20 miles from Dublin. So imagine that. You'll be playing Waterville, Old Ballybunion, Port Marnock, the old course in Dublin. Just a whole lot of stuff to do. The Ring of Kerry, to see the Wild Atlantic Way, all of those iconic tourist attractions, plus the great food, six magnificent meals in the evening, the castles. You know what I love? I just love the history. A five-star tour from start to finish. So it's radiogolfclub.com. That's where you go. And then just on the side, a little bit down, you'll see the banner, and that'll take you to the Golf Club exclusive listeners tour page. All righty. So I get my global golf post, right? And I see this beautiful rainbow and this picture of a bulldozer in the middle of a sandy hill. And it says, Tales from the Design Trail. And I start reading. And I'm just taken in by the whole idea that, if I had had my druthers, I would have been some explorer, some adventurer, on the trail. You know, nature was the original golf course architect. We all know that. I mean, look at St. Andrews. But apparently when a person who has an inclination sees some land, they see a course in that land, and they've just got to go do something about it. They got to build a course, regardless of whether there's anything around that would make it actually feasible to get there. So we're going to talk now with John Steinbreder, Global Golf Post senior writer. John, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you again.
adventurers, they must be, because snakes, hovels, drunken laborers, tractors breaking down in the middle of nowhere, workers showing up with crashing hangovers, facing off with deadly poisonous snakes, and run-ins with nearly naked Aborigines armed with bows and arrows. Those are just some of the things that you get to do if you want to be a golf course builder.
Well, especially in this day and age, with so much of the course construction being done, and we can thank Dick Young's captain, Mike Kaiser, especially for this, of golf course developers and owners going to the farthest corners of the world to build on great sand-based soil land, and that takes them to lots of faraway places, and that, as a result, takes the architects and their teams of shapers and design associates and whatnot to these same places. And it's not like building a course in and around or near a city or a pretty well-populated area. These guys are going off to the wilds of Mexico and Brazil and Indonesia and New Zealand
and New Guinea and wherever,
doing their work in some pretty isolated spots, some very cool spots. But in a lot of travels, and I do write a lot about architecture, and I do travel quite a bit in that piece, I was just struck by the stories I heard time and time again, not only from the big name architects, but also from this group of guys who are, like a Kai Golby or a Bruce Heppner, who is doing a lot of his own stuff now, with these shapers who work for the Tom Doakes and the Gil Hanses and the David McClay kids, and traveled all over the world with these guys and showed up at these places where there was no cell service and no internet service and oftentimes no place to live, and started building these great golf courses.
So, all of this begs the question, if they're building these fabulous golf courses in places where they can't even find a place to stay and they're like living in little hovels, where are the people who are going to play these golf courses? I mean, is this the beginning of creating resort destinations in the middle of nowhere?
Yeah, I think this all came, and Young's Gap showed it with Sand Hills in Nebraska, and then Mike Kaiser with Oregon, and and Mike and Ben Condor up in Nova Scotia, and, you know, Julian Robertson and Alex's son down in New Zealand right now. And I think, yeah, I think people have found that if you do build it and you build it well, the key being if you build it well, people will come. And there's certain places where I know David McClay Kidd and his associate, who I quote a lot in the story, Casey Crutenable, you know, down in Nicaragua, for example. I mean, that was a destination place, yes, but it was also a course for, you know, the upper class, the golfers, the well-to-do in Nicaragua. So it had sort of dual purposes. So they serve both. They either will serve as a sort of the definitive course in a country with a very small but avid golf population, as well as a place with or for people like you and I who love the game of golf in its best possible, purest possible forms, and give us an opportunity to go and do that and experience it in these very exotic and interesting locales. And by the way, after the courses are built, or while the courses are being built, some pretty nice accommodations, hotels, restaurants, beach bars and whatnot sprout up around them once the golf course starts getting built and getting completed.
That's interesting. You know, what you're talking about, Casey Granville, the Emerald Course, Nicaragua, Guacalito, worked with David McClay Kidd, as I discovered reading your article in Global Golf Post, John Steinbreder. They brought in the generators, they brought in their DirecTV and mosquito nets, but they also, he was there for 2 years?
Yes, he was. In fact, his oldest child, Jack, who was named Joaquin, in kind of honor, that's his official name, in honor of there being in Nicaragua when Jack was born. He was there for 2 years and literally came there, and he sort of, I think there were two structures on the entire property. It was a little beach on the Emerald Coast that had a great surf break on it, actually, and Don Carlos Pelas, who is the richest man in Nicaragua outside of the government and has done very well with private business over the years, and he used to take his family there for picnics and whatnot. It was only accessible pretty much by one dirt road and also by boat. And so Casey got there, and basically, as he said, they were taking guys out of the jungle and putting them on a crew, guys who'd never driven a vehicle in their life were suddenly driving backhoes, and guys who were, were becoming part of the crew is Casey and David would certainly were trying to organize it from their end. And then Casey and his wife, Lacey and Joaquin and their daughter Ava, and Ava came later on, but really Casey, Lacey, and Joaquin lived down there for a couple of years.
And then changing, you talk about them, they never drove before, the people who lived in the vicinity. Now they become, paid laborers who are learning skills and transforming the village.
Well, this is one thing Casey spoke a lot about, that, you know, there was a real benefit to a lot of this, certainly that he saw in Nicaragua, where, you know, I think there were over 100 people, that are over 100 locals are still employed at that resort, and there are a lot of people who just didn't have this opportunity before to, you know, make some money, get out of the dirt, you know, floored shack they were living in, and do something other than just subsisting on farming and fishing and hunting, and this is a great opportunity for them. And he really liked that part of it, as well as a part of taking something from nothing and creating a beautiful golf course at a beautiful resort and having quite an experience doing it. I mean, he had this shack, this beach shack that he kind of found, and he immediately turned that into his office, and he would go out and surf for about a half hour in the middle of the day or whenever the break was particularly good. The rest of the time was there managing the building of the golf course and the construction of bridges, the routing of the holes, and dealing with customs issues when, grass from Florida would show up at the dock in Managua, and it would take a lot of strong arming to get it down to the place in time before it died.
grass from Florida. Well, of course, we have to import the grass because it's the kind we need. So many great stories in your article. It's in Global Golf Post. It's Tales from the Design Trail, and it's by John Steinbreder, and we're talking with him right now. Bruce Heppner had an interesting story about building Cape Kidnappers in New Zealand. The rule was to be out of the bars by 11:01 p.m. Why was that?
Well, and this is kind of a standing rule everywhere, because he says that around 11 o'clock, the locals start getting a little too cross-eyed drunk and start worrying that all the shapers and the architect design associates are there to steal their wives or girlfriends. So things get a little dicey after, you know, I tell my daughters, nothing good happens in a bar after 11 o'clock.
Anyway.
Lord knows I learned that lesson the hard way. But so Bruce's standing rule with his crew, especially... You know, they'd always have a couple of interns on there as guys. You're out of the bars at 11. It's just not good.
Got it. Baja California, sir, between Cabo and La Paz, building a course for, was it John Doak?
Tom Doak, of course, yeah.
Yeah, Uzis? Uzis? You're landing and you're finding guys with Uzis. Why in the world?
You know, Kai Golby was a shaper in that. And, you know, the course never actually got built, which is too bad, but... Golby, who's the son of Bob Golby, the winner of the 1968 Masters, and Kai's worked for Doak a great deal over the years, and is a wonderfully adventurous guy and good fun to talk about this. So they had this land strip they used to fly in and out of every now and again on these, you know, crummy little prop planes that sort of roll in and land, and there was a double wide trailer that sort of served as a terminal, and they show up one time and they're. There were like three or four guys standing outside the trailer with Uzi machine guns, and Gobi has no idea what's going on. He says, what's happening? He says, well, last week a plane showed up, and these guys came out of the bush with Uzis and basically forced a pilot out of gunpoint and stole his plane. So now we need to have Uzis.
One must adapt to the conditions.
Well, it really is law of the jungle sometime in these places. And again, it speaks to the fact that... they really are first adapters. I mean, they go into kind of the Wild West in many ways, shapes, and forms, and places nobody's ever been before. Or very few people have been there are there currently when they show up.
I got one story, and I have no desire to go to New Guinea, Western New Guinea. It's just something really scary about how raw that world is. Rod Whitman and Bill Kaur apparently doing a course there. Ran into the cigarette snake. What and why?
They've got some Australian guide with them, which is pretty funny. That, you know, it's kind of a Crocodile Dundee guy, and he's leading them through the woods. And, you know, leading up to this point, Whitman tells the story that all of a sudden these workers are hacking away in the jungle with machetes, and they all of a sudden they stop and they take off. After this 8-foot-long python or some sort of snake that, Whitman and Kaur both want out of there in a nanosecond. They want nothing to do with this. And these workers track it down, and they came back and said it was really good to eat. So when they saw it, they wanted to make sure they got it. So that unnerved both of them pretty good. And so this other time, they're walking with the guide, and all of a sudden the guide looks at Whitman and says, "Don't move." And Whitman goes, "What?" He says, "Just don't move." Whitman stands there, freezes like a statue, and then the guide says, "It's okay." And Whitman said, "What was that?" He goes, "Well, that's a viper. We call it a cigarette snake. And he was all coiled up. For some reason, he didn't strike you." And he said, "Well, why do you call them cigarette snakes?" He goes, "Well, that's because they're so poisonous that if they bite you, you only have enough time for a cigarette before you die."
This was, now you know why. When I read this, I said, I got to talk with John Steinbreder, Global Golf Post. John, I need to take a break, and then we'll have about 7 minutes. Can we talk a little bit about your thoughts on a Ryder Cup? I mean, they didn't go through this doing Golf Nacional, right?
So that would be good. I'd be happy to. Be my
We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Are you dreaming about a golf vacation to Ireland? Do you want to play some of the best golf courses in the world? Well, now is your chance. Danielle and the team at the Golf Club Radio Show have teamed up with Fairways and Fundays, Ireland's best golf tour operator, to offer you a chance to visit Ireland in 2019. Play some of the world's best golf courses. Enjoy spectacular scenery and exhilarating evening entertainment. And, of course, sample the odd pint of Guinness. This is a perfect tour for golfers and non-golfers alike. Contact Danielle and her team at the Golf Club Radio Show for more information. We look forward to seeing you in the Emerald Isle in 2019.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, "Call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget."
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing.
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu, K-P-U-A, Hilo, K-O-N-I, Lanai City, K-T-O-H, Kalaheo. Claude, by the way, Claude Brousseau is not at the Maui School of Golf for a few weeks because he's in Paris. Of course, he has a short game school in Paris, but he's in Paris for Ryder Cup. And of course, he's been... I gotta get in touch with him. I've been so busy with so many different things. You know, hurricanes coming, hurricanes going, hurricanes coming, hurricanes going. It's like, what gives? She's supposed to be inside the Central Pacific area within today sometime, a Category 1 hurricane. And we can expect tropical storm conditions. Olivia will be a tropical storm Wednesday, possibly Big Island or Maui, you know, coming towards us. But that's just what's expected. You just have to be prepared because this is just August, September. You know, we still have October, November. So we need to just, you know, keep your water. Don't return it. It's you're going to use it. And then if you don't, you can always drink it out of the bottles later on over the winter when you go to the beach, you go camping. So just stay stocked and be prepared and keep your eyes open to the different forecasts that are coming in. So Olivia is a Category 1 now. Tropical storm expected to have those kinds of conditions sometime Tuesday night, Wednesday. But everything is always in flux when it comes to weather situations. John Steinbreder is senior writer at Global Golf Post. And I've got to talk to you, John, about the last Ryder Cup pick. Because for those of you who are casual golf watchers, listeners, there were eight guys who made their way into the Ryder Cup based on the points. And then there are four captain's picks, four guys the captain would really like to have on the team who didn't quite make it. And we had Bryson DeChambeau, who certainly did show that he was definitely a good spot. He should have been eight. He was eight. He went to nine. definitely deserve the pick. And then there was Phil Mickelson, doing quite nicely, thank you very much. Sometimes, not so much others, but it's Phil Mickelson. Then there's Tiger Woods, right? Tiger Woods, my goodness, look what he's done in the last couple of months. So Tiger, so there's one more pick, and they always save the last pick. They save the last pick for the hot guy. So there are two hot guys, Xander Schauffele and Tony Finau. Schauffele has two wins and the Tour Championship, but that was all last year. He's been kind of like in neutral sort of until now. Now, all of a sudden, he's hot. Tony Finau, who of course played for Turtle Bay for so long, right, here in Oahu, no wins, but 10 top fives this year, or 18 top tens in 2 years. So I'm talking with John. John, you're Jim Furyk. What are you going to do?
I'd pick Tony. I think you said it very well about Xander being a great kid. I actually did a piece on it for Masters.com during last year's tournament and really enjoyed chatting with him, and I think he's going to be a real force. But Tony Finau, with what he's done in the major championships on the biggest stages of golf this year, has been nothing short of spectacular, starting with his Masters win after he dislocated his ankle. And one of the most gruesome scenes I've ever seen in my life, watching that thing come out and go back in. And then he played, and I don't have it right in front of me, Danielle, but I think he had a fourth or a fifth there. He top five at the U.S. Open, I believe a top five at the Open Championship. I mean, he's played great golf all year. I mean, I think he was top 10 at the PGA, and I like that he's a big hitter. I think he's got a lot of athleticism. I think he's really held up well under the brightest lights this entire season, and I would kind of lean toward him, not taking anything away from Xander, but I sort of lean toward Tony. And I was just thinking and talking about that last night with one of my good golf buddies, so I appreciate the question.
Absolutely. I mean, they're both rookies when it comes to Ryder Cup. They've never played Ryder Cup, right. So that doesn't matter, right? One question that came up on Golf Channel, the golf course, Le Golf National, and playing in Europe, which suits Finau? Is it a good course for Finau, or is it a good course for Schauffele, or does that even matter?
The thing is, and I was at the Open de France last year, that Tommy Fleetwood won there at Le Golf National, and it's really not a great golf course for you or I. It's not a particularly pretty course in a particularly pretty setting, but it is a tough course. It's a great course for this sort of an event, and I think either one of them will do quite nicely there. I think with these sorts of golf courses, the longer you can be, and as long as you're accurate, the better off you are. But it's going to be hard for either one of them, for the Americans, just because the Europeans are so familiar with this golf course. They've been playing the French Open there for the last 25 years, 20 years. So they know it. All those guys that play a lot of European Tour golf, the Rory McIlroys, the Tommy Fleetwoods, they played this course a ton. They know it really, really well. And I think just in general, it's going to give the Europeans a huge advantage in this in this event. As good a team as the Americans have, it's definitely going to be some good home cooking for the Europeans.
Interesting. I felt that too. And I think he's been criticized a little bit for choosing some of the older guys, the Sergio Garcia, who's missed the cut in all of the majors this past year. Ian Poulter has won, and he's great. He had to be on the team. Sergio, it was a great pick, I think. I think Sergio will rise to the occasion. But the U.S. team is still favored over the European team when it comes to the odds. I was talking with Jason Sobel over at the Action Network earlier in the show. So it's my sense tells me this is a good European team and a course that they know. It's going to be great watching. Are you going?
No, I'm not going to be there this year, unfortunately, but that's okay. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And again, I think the Europeans' knowledge of that course is going to be really, really critical for them. I'm just, my only sadness on the European team is that there's no Frenchman that was able to rise to the to the top there and get a pick. That would have been a lot of fun for France. There's a lot of enthusiasm over there. I know Pascal Grisel quite well, who's heading up the Ryder Cup effort for France, and there's an enormous amount of excitement and great preparation for it, and I'm sorry there's not going to be a Frenchman playing, but it should be a really good match, and I think the Europeans have got an advantage because they know that course so well, and it's a hard course. And they're going to know it's nooks and crannies. And I don't know how many Americans have played there more than a couple times. I mean, Peter Uihlein was second in last year's tournament to Tommy Fleetwood, but of course Peter's not on the team. But you know, none of the big name Americans are there because it was the end of it's kind of a July 4th weekend, so it's a little bit before the British Open, and they're back home playing in their tournaments and then heading over to the British Isles. So. It's going to be there'll be a learning curve for the U.S. team, I think.
It's going to be great. And, you know, not being there, at least you're like front row on your TV. And it's sometimes you get a better view. You don't get the feeling. You don't get the electricity, so to speak. But you certainly get a good view. You'll see where the ball is. Good talking with you, John Steinbreder, golf writer for Global Golf Post, and you can get Global Golf Post in your inbox. Just go to Global Golf Post, and then you say, I want you every morning, and you just put your email address, and sure enough, comes to you every day. Okay? That's Global Golf Post. Thanks very much, John.
Hey, great being with you. Have a great weekend.
Aloha. We're going to come back, and we're going to go to St. Andrews. Roger McStravick, he's got a new book for us. And it's a comfort book. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
A question. What is 6 times larger than your front door? What can open and close with the touch of a button or the click of your smartphone? What do your neighbors notice every time they pass your home? And what is the one home improvement that offers the largest return on investment? What gives you thousands of choices yet can be installed in a single day? You're right, it's your new Rainer garage door. Beautify your home with Rainer at 676-3667. That's 676-3667.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's
Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You met Roger McStravick, golf historian specializing in St. Andrews and author back in 2016. St. Andrews in the footsteps of old Tom Morris. And he won the USGA's Herbert Warren Wind Book Award for his work. Also won the British Golf Collectors Society Murdoch Medal, which is very unusual for an author to get both of those for the same book in the same year, which is period, very unusual. Now, I got an email, great email. I love getting emails from people. And, you know, I've got this PDF attached. It's a draft of my new book. I'm hoping to bring it out around the Dunhill. It's a guide to St. Andrews. Well, a guide to St. Andrews? Everyone needs a guide to St. Andrews, especially a layperson. You know, it's all great knowing the history, the bones of St. Andrews, but a guide? So let's bring him in right now. Roger McStravick, golf historian specializing in St. Andrews. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Yeah, hi, Daniel. How are you doing?
Welcome in, and I'm doing great. I hope you are, too. Now, the guide to St. Andrews is St. Andrews, a comfort blanket for the hapless golfer. This is a complete departure from your very, very serious works. And when I saw
it, it is. I needed to write something happy and uplifting. This is my fifth book, and everything so far has been fairly, you know, lots of research and, you know. But this one, I just wanted to, when people come to St. Andrews, you know, they're overawed by everything. You know, you see people just standing behind the 18th green and they can't take it all in, you know, the yard A, the 18th green, the first tee. And they're overwhelmed. And I thought, well, actually, it'd be nice just to say, listen, it's not so hard and it's not so bad and anyone can come here and play, you know, with an official handicap. And so it's sort of an insider's guide to St. Andrews.
I love it. When you say anybody can come and anybody can play, tell us about the fact that it's all those courses are public golf courses.
Yeah, that's the really strange thing, especially the old. You know, the old is owned by the people. It has been for the last 500 years or so. So it is a public course. And on Sunday, it's closed. And that basically goes back to, you know, everything stops on a Sunday, you know, because of the church.
Yep.
And so on Sunday, people just meander across the old course with their dogs and, you know, and, anybody can, you know, non-golfers just meander, you know, down the first and walk the course if you like, you know, and lots to do, take a Saturday or Sunday morning walk.
So, St. Andrews, a comfort blanket for the hapless golfer. Comfort blanket for the hapless golfer. Who did the cover work? Who was your artist?
It's Kate Scurfield. She's a fantastic cartoonist, and she does the Horse and Hound magazine, which I'm not sure if you know about, but it's a fairly well-known sort of magazine over here, and she's really good at doing satirical cartoons.
Yes.
I wanted a book that I could sit down and write, you know, off the top of my head, really, you know, which would be such a departure from previous stuff. But I also, it had to be lighthearted, and you know, so in the book, you know, I tell people, you know, the secrets of St. Andrews, really, and tell them, you know, how do you get a tea time, and I've come as a single to St. Andrews. What do I do? Tell them about the etiquette, you know. So I'm basically giving them a hole by hole guide how they should play the course, and then I give them some of the history as well, stuff that they, you know, that will get them sounding as if they're St. Andrews experts, you know. So it's a,
All
the good stuff, really.
Yeah, and this is it here. Can you get me a tea time on the old course? That's chapter one. Can you get me a tea time on the old course? You know, like, you got to know somebody on the inside. Okay, chapter two, how do I get a tea time on the old course? Chapter three, I've got my tea time for my group. Now I just need clubs and balls. You know, does everybody travel thinking they're going to get a tea time at St. Andrews? And then chapter four is, as a single player, I don't have a tea time. Help! Chapter five, can you advise me about first tee nerves and what I should aim for? Number six is, can you advise me on old course etiquette? Number seven is, can you give me a hole-by-hole guide, please? Number eight is, I'm gutted. I didn't make the ballot. Can you recommend some other courses nearby? So let's go to I'm gutted. I didn't make the ballot. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. I get it. Just point out, chapter one is very short because the title of it is, can you get me a tea time on the old course? And it has one word in that chapter, and the answer is no, because it is the most asked question. I almost get asked it weekly. I get emails. People send, my friend is the goalkeeper for Portugal, and he wants to play the old. Can you get him a tea time? And he says, no, you know. So everybody has to join the ballot. You know, it's a lottery system. But so you're asking about chapter eight, sorry.
It's okay. No, but that was really important. That's really important that you said that, because, you know, no one can get you a tea time. You have to, right? You have to go for the ballot. And how many people get it? How many people? What's the percentage that actually get a tea time?
I think it's around 70% in the summer, in the peak, you know, so it's pretty high. And the best time to come is actually now, where your percentage rates would be much, much higher, almost like 95%. And the best time weather-wise in St. Andrews is this time, because like tonight is another blue sky, beautiful evening, and early spring as well. Is they're the two best times to come to St. Andrews. July, you know, it could be beautiful and warm, but it could equally be, you know, stormy as well, you know, so it's just, you're taking your lottery with the weather as well, really.
Right.
But it, you know, I always said people should come at this time because there's not the demand on the old, and there's just tea times aplenty, and it's just beautiful conditions.
And so, September, what time does it get dark? Like 10 o'clock?
It's getting earlier now. It's about 8 o'clock now.
Ooh. Okay, 8 o'clock. So the summer,
It's still bright enough now to play, but say in an hour, the light will be gone.
Yeah. See, it's already 8 o'clock. In Scotland, at night. Okay, let's go to number 8. I'm gutted. I didn't make the ballot. Can you recommend some other courses nearby?
Absolutely. You're spoiled here, really. You know, that's a great thing that in St. Andrews Town alone, there are 7 courses, you know, and they're all pretty good, you know, and I rank them in the book. My sort of second favorite would be the Castle course. You know, I love playing that. I like going out there for 9 holes. I play with another author, Michael Tobert, and we go out and have a coffee and play 9 holes, and that's just bliss for me. You know, that's as good as it gets, really. You know, you just stroll around 9 holes and then you're back home, you know, in less than, you know, 2 hours or so.
You're my kind of guy. 9 holes.
Yeah.
it's wonderful.
But with those courses, I love Creel, I have to say. You know, I love Creel, I love King's Barnes, but Creel, for me, is just, it's really, the benchmark for me, if you play a course, is, you know, how do I feel in the clubhouse, you know? So if I play something like Jubilee, which I'm not a big fan of, it's a great course, and some people love it, you know, but not me. But when I play Creel, I just want to, after lunch, I just want to go out and play it again, you know. And this is exactly the same with King's Barnes. I don't walk off King's Barnes needing a defibrillator, you know. So it's just a beautiful course. And Creel as well, you know, the old Tom Morris course there. Just beautiful. You play holes that are, you know, right on the water, and just gorgeous.
I like the introduction to your book. Sadly, there's no escaping the first tee oxygen or lack thereof situation, because everybody apparently is stunned by, you know, what am I going to do? I'm stunned on the first tee to begin with, so I'll probably just be, you know, carry me away into the second tee. My editor has told me that some of the chapters may be too short, especially chapter 1, because it's just one word, as you told us. But at the same time, I think you glean everything you need to know. If after reading this book you have more questions, please get in touch, and I will add your questions to updated versions. My hope is that this book will make you feel more relaxed about coming to St. Andrews. Also, by educating the treasured visitor well ahead of arrival, perhaps we'll also be a little bit better off. Educating the treasured visitor, I like this, because the top tips that you give, number 1, speed of play. Tell us about the speed of play requirements.
Yeah, fast. You have to play fast. In St. Andrews, they expect you round. Most rounds during the summer months take 5 hours, which is just insane. But, as you know, come September, October, when the course is not so busy, you know, locals, I'm a member of the St. Andrews Golf Club, and they get around in 2 hours 55, and that's what they expect. So they play really fast. I don't remember if you remember the Benny Hill show, but the closing shot at the end of the Benny Hill show was everybody walking really fast.
Yes.
That's how they play in St. Andrews, you know, and they play ready golf. I don't know what the awareness of that is like where you are, but...
We do ready golf. Yes, ready golf, yes.
Yeah, you know, so instead of somebody hits a ball in the rough and then, you know, all the group go over and then all the group go back, you know, everybody hits the ball and then helps, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And people don't take overly long trying to find it, you know, give it a few minutes, of course, but...
Right, okay.
It's fast, you know, the locals like to play fast. And so you can understand why in the summer months, you know, they're pulling their hair out because after nine holes, you know, they're into 2.5 hours, you know, so.
So I want to give you.
You definitely play fast.
I want you to get an idea. This is a Roger McStravick, and his book is St. Andrew's, the comfort blanket for the hapless golfer. The whole idea is making you feel comfortable and giving you some tips. So, but the tone of the book is what's so much fun. So, number one, speed of play. Hint, if an old lady with a three-legged asthmatic dog is passing you, you are playing too slowly. And number two, GPS devices, not needed, dear friends, from less than 12 feet. If you can't see the pin from that distance and don't know what club to hit, you're playing the wrong sport. Please try ice dancing. I like the way you're writing this, and it's wonderful. He starts off with the dedication, and this is really important because Roger McStravick, not just lost his dad, Joseph McStravick, to whom this book is dedicated, but also mom, and was it your father-in-law too?
Yeah, you know, in a space of 15 months, you know, mom died unexpectedly, and then my dad, a year later, he was just heartbroken. He really just lost the will to live and died himself. Unexpectedly, and then 3 months later, my father-in-law died. So, it was a tough time. But I had to write something lighthearted.
Something fun.
I love the stories in here. You know, because all of this advice is a nice backdrop to be able to meander off and tell sort of funny stories and stuff like that. So,
yes.
It was a joy to write. It really was.
And I can tell that you had fun because he starts off with the dedication. And then next to it stands by the sea laid out in parallel lines of roads with a noble surrounding of rich glebe, a place of lordly wealth. While the old luster of the pontiff's meter remained, 'twas here the pontiff's meter gleamed. A town happy beyond words, did it know the good gifts of the muses and the blessed realms of the God of heaven. Or, that's the translation, by the way, from the Latin Poemata by Professor of Theology John Johnstone of St. Mary's College in St. Andrews. Okay, so that was written way back in its translations. And then right below that, we have this from Roger. He says, or, translation of the English, of the Latin translation, St. Andrews is jolly nice. So I just, I really enjoyed the book, and I have to confess, I haven't read everything, but I'm looking forward to going through the entire book, the whole PDF. I love the illustrations and the tone and the advice. The three-legged asthmatic dog, if it passes you.
You know, it will soothe the worried golfer. You know, that's the hope. That's the hope that someone is coming over here and they're like, oh, my God, what am I going to face? And then read this book and go, you know, I think I got this covered. I can do this, you know. So, but the one thing to say that everybody who's ever come to St. Andrews has been terrified, you know, from George Bush Sr., you know, he said one of the most terrifying moments was teeing off at the first. You know, everybody has done, even Eisenhower, actually. When Eisenhower came here, I think, in 46, and there was a letter in the local paper saying, you know, Eisenhower, please watch him on the 1st and 18th, but leave him alone for the other holes, let him enjoy his golf. And Eisenhower came, and he saw the crowds lining the fairway and behind the first tee. And he said, well, I'm going to walk this one. I'm not going to play. And he walked the first hole. He wouldn't hit a tee shot off the first, you know. So if anyone's coming over here, please don't worry. You are in very good company.
Roger McStravick, I'm so pleased to have had you on the show, and I'm looking forward to doing it again when the book is ready, and we can tell people to go here and get this wonderful book, St. Andrews, The Comfort Guide for the Hapless Golfer. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Pleasure. Thanks so much, Danielle.
Aloha. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, whether you're a big store, you know, some gigantic box store, one of those gigantic stores or just a small little pop-up shop that you have available, a custom home or a townhouse, whether you're starting from scratch, you're a new build, renovation or repair, and there's so much difference in that and so much goes into that. Not just in the plumbing, but the work that needs to be done to prep for something like a new build or a renovation or just getting the repair done. You just need to call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. It's Creative Plumbing. Futura Stones, master craftsmen, turning your building, your warehouse, your showroom, or your home project into artwork. It's Futura Stone, only the best. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini, provide lasting security and safety for your home. Rainer Doors. Thank you for your mama. And if you'd like to find out more about the golf club trip to Ireland, just go to radiogolfclub.com. Scroll down a bit. There's a banner on the right side and you'll see it set right there. And then just click on that and all the details are there. Thank you for your mama. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.